to approve the minutes of the September 26th meeting. Could I have a motion for approval?
So moved, Wilson.
Moved, seconded, and thirded, I believe. Are there...
Lisa, second.
Yep.
Yeah, any questions? Could I, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes pass. Item three are comments from the public. Tom, do you have anyone there with you or any comments?
No. The only guest is here to for an agenda item to talk with talk on.
Okay. I'll move on to item four, which is your report, then. Take it away.
So, in the order of, for the sake of time here, we're just going to go through this as I've sent it out. I'm sure everybody's had a chance to read it. If they have any questions, feel free to let me know. A lot of the small things, the financial audit was completed on November 4th for FY25, and they'll be back in January to present that. A couple of other items we're going to talk about are in the agenda, so I'll save the union contract stuff for that item. Levy payment was received for first quarter, and then another big one, I'm going to go to the Board of Supervisors on January 12th for our annual budget presentation, so that date's been set for that meeting. So I'll be down there on January 12th. Outside of that, the only other big item on here, October 16th, we had a meeting with the fire subcommittee on at the request of Iowa City Fire regarding options on reducing canceled and route calls. They basically sent a giant list of their calls they're being canceled and route on quite frequently and wanted that to be looked into and discussed as far as options that might work across the county, because I explained to them that we do our policies based on consensus of all of the county responding agencies, so the fire policies are all pretty much uniform, so that we're not trying to dispatch one agency different than another. That's where it causes trouble when you have manual steps for a dispatcher to do. They try to remember, oh, we're in Coralville, we do this different. Oh, we're in Iowa City. So we don't do that here. We write the policies across the board. So in order to come up with this, we brought this forward to the fire folks, and they took it to the Mutual Aid Association for additional feedback, and they want to be dispatched differently to sick person calls. They said a lot of it was for responder health, risk, by rolling some of the equipment and stuff, getting everybody going to calls that they were disregarded to within the first couple of minutes of dispatch, and some maybe only getting a few blocks down the road. So that's kind of one of the biggest changes there that we're going to try trial on and see how it works, and then again seek feedback and see how that's working out for everyone.
Question, Tom.
Yeah.
Is this happening in other places as much as in Iowa City? Proportionally. Not.
There's been some other challenges in the outlying places. That was just more so trying to get staff or volunteers. To go on some of those calls. Sometimes it's harder to mobilize on a call that they knew was a frequently disregarded call, or they may get disregarded on. So I think it's addressing some of the comments was addressing some things here and there for everyone differently. Obviously, Iowa City Fire being responding to the most of this call type, and it was trying to reduce about 300 calls per year from them. They averaged about 500 to 600 that they're going on that they're getting disregarded, and they want to cut it in half.
Okay, and then my next question, I'm trying to keep it short, but just so you can do like a yes or no. Are these calls just, calls that get canceled kind of random for whatever reason, or is it sort of a same user, utilizer type gets calling and then cancel?
So a lot of this particular type of call take, one of the most examples that I can give that's the easiest and just makes the most sense to understand, someone calls and they've had a stomach ache for 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. And they want an ambulance, or they're not going to the hospital on their own, or they're not seeking care on their own. Through additional questioning that the dispatchers do through the EMD protocol, we may learn more about that he is just a stomach ache, that's all that's going on. They just need somebody to go.
Okay.
Fire's not wanting to roll all that equipment and go and start going in route, and then they get canceled because we update that call and we say it's just been
sick. So they're all over the place. place.
Yeah,
I was asking because I was wondering if this would be the type of thing to refer to Mike Mothership.
It is. I mean, some of these calls are the answers too.
Keep that in mind as a.
It's our very basic lowest level of medical response. It's your alpha and omega calls that. Those are the ones that we're looking at trialing on this and see. And we've told them all we can try this because the other departments may say, you know, it's not working out for us. We want to go.
So it's like a frequent utilizer type.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Some of it was brought up for mental health, staff mental health, waking up constantly in the middle of the night. And it's that jolting of whoa, and they go, and then they find out they just got dressed, the truck rolled out, it got halfway down the block, and they were disregarded because it was just a sick person that, you know, has had, you know, the flu for 3 or 4 days. The breathing's fine, nothing else like that involved, just need to ride to the hospital or whatever. So, and they'll still go on it if requested. These other agencies, like there might be a lift assist requirement, a lot of factors that we're going to learn through additional questioning. But as far as the initial dispatch and initial information gathering, they're going to hold off that response unless we give them further as we continue on the call. So that's kind of the biggest item in there. I put that in there, but it's hard for you all to read and probably without asking a few questions understand that. But stay tuned on it. There'll be more to come.
Sorry to interrupt, but is this just going to be for Iowa City then, or are you going to do this countywide?
Countywide, they agreed.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's hard to do on a.
That's what I thought I heard you say.
Yeah,
it was
individual
just
choice
about Iowa City. So.
And that's why they're going to have to trial it because there's only one department that again they said you know they'll go with it, but they were just not in favor, and so we'll see how this kind of trial works out. And if we learn some new changes, and we're going to talk about it as we get to a future agenda item, one of the challenges with this is kind of the CAD we have doesn't allow for this type of thing to be done easily. So I'll lump this example into when we get talking about that item. So I would tell you as we get through it and we figure out some more processes, if we can make it easier or something, we will do that.
Okay.
Or easier way to do it, sorry, with technology. Outside of that, we can move on to the agenda items and focus the time.
We're trying to whiz through this. Megan's going to go at 8:30 or 8:35 here, so we're going along as quickly as we can.
Sounds good. All right, sorry for being late. Traffic on 3.
Yeah, no worries.
Item 5, then, is evaluation of CAD system lifecycle and future options.
Yep, so this item was requested to be added to the agenda by Sheriff Kunkel. I think as a group, this is an item that we've all been kind of tackling and working on countywide for quite some time. And I think he wanted to bring it up to discuss because we've talked about it in the past. The users are kind of, we talk about it, but I think with being a countywide entity, and we've got multiple, I'm going to throw my camera in the room. With multiple entities being involved, multiple disciplines, you can always have a lot of conversations, and everybody has kind of different requirements, and those requirements sometimes change on the daily, or we'll think we've got kind of a major item fixed, and then something else might change or not work on it, or a new requirement might come up. So I think to look at this from a large approach, timing-wise, it was good. This is the budget work session. I think it gives us a chance to talk about it and what we want to talk about in the future, or even allocating something out of the next year's budget. But I will let Brad take over, and then I'll just introduce it for him. And we got some things to discuss or some questions that I can answer.
Can everybody hear me? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Online.
Yes.
So
they're nodding. Sorry.
Okay. I just want to make sure. The CAD problem has persisted for years. Everybody county-wise on the same CAD and RMS system, and it helps for information exchange and continuity and all those things, but the problem is we're limping along with a dinosaur of a system. It is just becoming a constant problem with my staff, or with everybody, with really trying to make an antiquated system fit the needs of what we really are doing today. And we're really at a point with the software provider where They haven't really said it, but I think they want us to go away. Like, we are taking up way more of their time and resources than really they're able to provide. One of the things we've been doing for a long time is we have a bi-weekly meeting with representatives from TAC-10 Global just to talk about and fix the issues. But what I see of that is if we are having to have bi-weekly meetings, and how long have we been doing these?
So the bi-weekly meetings started after August of 2022's CAD assessment.
So for the last 3 years, we've been having bi-weekly meetings just so they can constantly fix and put out spot fires. That's nonsense. Like, we shouldn't even be having to deal with that. So this is something the chiefs and I, we meet, we talk about, and we're all in agreement. We need to start a path for replacing the system, and that's why I wanted this on the agenda. When this system came online 15 years ago,
when the JEC opened, is a consolidated system.
Okay. You know, so we've been using this system since 2012, something like that. You know, find me another software solution that lasts 12 years. So the chiefs and I have been talking, like, everybody sees this as a problem, not only law enforcement, but fire. And what everybody really needs to do their job is just not being provided for by this system. So we've done a lot of talking and complaining. We need to have a path forward now. So I wanted this on the agenda to get that in front of this entity, but also this is an endeavor that ultimately I think should be led by the JEC and not by police or fire. I think we all come to the table, and EMS, we all come to the table throughout this and say, here's what our needs are, and find a system that can best meet about as many as they can, knowing whatever we land on in the future, nobody's going to be 100% happy, but we have to have a solution. It's going to take us a year or two to work through this, and it's going to be expensive. We've been setting aside money on our end for four years. We skipped last year. I think on our end we have about $800,000 set aside for this replacement. So we've been kind of preparing for this for quite some time. But again, as you know, if you go back and talk to your chiefs and your whether fire or police, and I really think they're all going to tell you, yes, we need to start working on a solution for this for the future. So I wanted Tom to put together a couple things involving just, again, the history, give you an idea of the tickets, like how many problems we have, and just so you understand kind of the scope of the need and why we're talking about this.
So as Sheriff alluded to, you know, when we started out here in the JEC, we signed the contract with this company in October of 2009. The software was currently in use by the Johnson County Sheriff's Office before the consolidation. Iowa City Police used a different software system. It's called CIS. The sheriff and the chief and them, they met. They came to a conclusion that they would proceed forward with the vendor that the sheriff's office had due to, you know, there's jail, civil, there's other modules that were involved that would need to be changed if they switched. So in October 2009, the contract was brought forward, and then that product was installed and started to be implemented here at the JECC. Had it up. Again, at that time, we were told it started out with a kind of the first initial broken promise was a master countywide database where we could see if a Coralville cop had just stopped someone that had just been stopped in Iowa City previously, that would all pop up, or there you'd be able to see all the sharing, you know, data real time. Well, then the databases came up where Iowa City's database had to be brought up separately than Johnson County's. They couldn't make the master single database work. So that was the first thing, and in a consolidated environment, that was obviously one of the main things that we wanted. So the first thing that they struggle with out of the gate and still haven't been able to do today is that type of information. Yes, can we get that? Yes, can we still see those stops? Yes, we can. But there's ways to make it easier and more transparent to everyone than a few clicks behind the scenes to get that. So anyway, over that time, that software, as we know, It's older, built on older technology. They upgraded the record side of it and brought that up to speed. But the CAD itself, again, old platform. As we added on users, we grew. There was a lot of things that weren't working in it. A lot of updates to be made. It would break something else. So we've kind of been just chasing our tails on the break fix side. The company was sold out a few years into the JEC being opened, and then it was then reacquired. So then we accepted the reacquisition to the new vendor, and then that new vendor had then sold out. Again, I don't know, can't recall the exact date, a little bit prior to 2018, but it had sold out to Harris Computer Corporation, not to be confused with the Harris radio system vendor, a separate vendor, and then it became part of the global public safety umbrella. So again, another change. I'll kind of just jump to 2018 because, again, still the issues. But in starting in 2018, has been the most recent, what I will call the ticketing system, so where we open up issues that we've had with the software, things we need the vendor to take a look at, fix, you know, basically opening a trouble ticket, to be all familiar with the same language here. So since April of 2018, that's the most recent ticketing system. The other systems are no longer in place, and we could not grab that data. But all agency total, there's been 2,250 tickets that have been closed. So we've at least opened that many. We still have another 100 tickets open by all agencies currently. Open tickets by just the JEC alone was over 367, with 33 tickets open out of that was involving us. So I think, again, a lot of this equates to, we open these tickets, I'll fast forward. So the biweekly, August of 2022, we did a CAD assessment. That study was paid for by 911 funds through a consultant that we had identified to possibly use for a CAD, you know, replacement, take a look at our needs assessment that had been used around the state. We talked about that back when we had approved this. So I won't go into the history of that. They came out, met with all our users. This was in 2022, August of 2022. They presented their needs assessment to the group with two options. One was basically a new CAD. The other was developing, kind of identifying the top things that we need out of this CAD and that we need to work and that we need to focus on. That's the route the group went with at that time, just due to cost, the change. You know, the CAD does do a lot of highly customizable things for local users, so they committed to developing this list of top 8 items. So since that time, then we started these biweekly meetings to make sure that we were staying on top of these items. They still are not complete. They still run updates to these break fixes, and then what happens is something else will break. And I think and the reason is because the program has never really been regression tested from the beginning. So there really wasn't like a quality control process on this program when they made these changes. These people were just making changes as users found things that broke, didn't know what else broke then when you rolled out an update. So a lot of our time has now been spent continually just putting out each of these little individual issues. As the sheriff mentioned, and some of these things are small updates to something that's worked for several years too, and then a small update then turns and breaks something that's been working. You ask, how is a product that's worked for 5 years break, you know, when you just made a small, we might have just added you to just make a change to a field, and it breaks everything. We just experienced that this week with our NCIC client. We updated it, and it broke a form, and the form's worked forever. So why does this form just now break on this one small change? So anyway, yeah. During this time, we've also been told, you know, they're basically, to be frank, I use the term because I know we've heard it in the political realm. Not that I agree with maybe the sentiment behind it, but lipstick on a pig. I said, are you guys just really trying to make this product look pretty? It's still a terrible product, but it's this. You're giving me a new interface, and you expect us to like it. We still haven't saw that new interface, Now, I don't even want to tell you how many years ago that was. And so I think it's just led up to the sheriff bringing this up, wanting to have the conversation. I've asked the question of the consultant. And to answer Brad's question about life cycle, he said usually been 15 to 20 years for product. We've exceeded that with this one, obviously. And so that was one of the questions that we had. And then how do we move forward? And so timing-wise, you know, appropriately, you know, we're going to go into the budget work session here and two agenda items. You know, what do we see, you know, planning-wise for this? Our organization did lead this originally. When we consolidated, they brought this project under the JEC. And I think a lot of it was because, again, it was funded through the levy. And then that was obviously a fair way to tax everyone for the product. So that's how it was deployed. I do have information that when we get time, if folks ask, I have some budgetary numbers from the consultant to basically go through and work this project. One question I might get asked is, what do I think this project's going to cost? I think for a county our size, we've kind of been told in that $4 to $5 million estimate. And then another question before we get there too, you know, how do we pay for that large of a number? Because we do bond for a lot of our projects here. I did go ahead and have a meeting with Dana at the county about this topic, and he said his preference would be when we, if we do make the decision to go down this path, that we do it at once. So if we bond for that number, we won't break it out over years, because you don't want to just set aside a number and have it pay an interest on money that's just sitting there doing nothing. So I did kind of get that question answered with him as well. So as the time, obviously the Board of Supervisors would ultimately have to make that decision, because that would be a bonding item. But I think from a timing-wise, when and how to do it, if you're going to do it, you do that number at once. So that was some of the other background information that that I've been gathering for this group as well.
Do you have a provider already, or that's okay?
So we would go through the whole process,
okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So one thing on that I just wanted to share with this group, I attend and have been for years the System of Care meeting that happens once a month, and that's to identify gaps in our system of care and then try to find solutions. So what has been coming up over and over again, and you can attest to this, is the inability right now to share data across the different providers of care. And there are a lot of the folks that would be calling in here, you know, whatever their emergency might be, you know, oftentimes it's funneled through here, but that inability for the different agencies to share data because of, you know, confidentiality and things. So currently we are hearing from, like, Shelter House got a grant and they had Brilgent come through, and there's, you know, like, they've already kind of like done that first sieve, you might call it, to figure out ways to provide systems that, or a system that can do data sharing across several agencies. So I just think it's something, because all of that stuff's going to be funneled through here, that we should keep in mind that no matter who ends up being the vendor, good thing Bill's here, because I really don't know what I'm talking about. No, that it needs to be able to interface with
yep.
systems that are going to be in place community-wide for that kind of data sharing.
And that's one thing, too. This software, while it says it integrates with other products, the interfaces, we've not experienced the best of luck with that. So I think finding a newer platform and hopefully finding something that we can use the integrated map, we can use the integrated records management system in jail. And so all those pieces, we're not having to buy an interface for or interface with another product. Because I'm trying to get two vendors to play well and exchange their software code, that can be tough. I will add two more last points, because I think these were kind of some important talking points that will help people really kind of understand. So one of the issues that we've been working on, and this will just put it in perspective, for over a year, and it took TAC 10 well over that time frame to get it fixed, was updating addresses after initial call for service was placed. If an address changed and we needed to update that address, it wasn't immediately propagating out. I think a lot of people can attest to the frustration of that in their mobile and knowing how important when, you know, you need a new address or an address changed, how quickly that can get pushed out. But updating that address field and seeing that updated address wasn't working. And then I know for the, on the end user side, so like this is more for the people on the mobiles. While JEC staff doesn't work on the mobiles, it's a frustration for the departments that have to work on mobiles, or when these updates take, these frequent updates take place, having their staff go out and touch all these mobiles. There's no installation package for these mobiles, and so there's a lot of like manual files that have to be updated manually. I won't confuse everybody with like DLL files and re-registering them, because that'll get, you know, fly. But I can sure build staff probably, you know, they're one, they have to touch a lot of mobiles, and not having that package, and for the amount of frequent updates, they say, hey, you need to hit the mobiles again. And we're like, really? We got to put all these people together to go do this again? And then if it breaks, then they're going back out and touching it maybe how many days later to roll back.
And just so we're clear, mobiles means that computers are in the car, so every car that's a mobile. Yep. My office alone, that's like 35. And then add Corville, North Liberty, Iowa City, everybody has one. That means somebody's got to go out and physically put their hands on it. And Bill can speak this better than I could. One of his staff is pretty much, I don't know, almost like one of our part-time employees in the sheriff's office, because just the amount of IT needs we need and the amount of time we spend on TAC 10. So that's why I wanted Bill to come, just to touch briefly on, from his point of view, also just why this is something we have to start moving forward on.
Certainly agree with everything that's been said in the room. The software is very old. It had its problems from creation. You know, we bought into a company who customized and designed a piece of software for the things that we needed, which was great, right? Unfortunately, I just don't think they did a very good job. If it was a small agency, we weren't as big, maybe we wouldn't have some of these problems. The core of the system just does not perform in a satisfactory manner for the county's needs at this point. You know, a simple thing, NCI requests, literally we have to have a process that removes all the requests that law enforcement makes out of a database into another database, because the file gets so big that the system comes to its knees when it runs. I mean, so that, the point of that is that their vision of how this would work and configure it just wasn't very good. So that's number one. Number two, just like Tom said, here we are 15 years in, they don't have an install program. Every piece of software is one program, an executable of some type. You double click on it and it installs the software. It takes us an hour or two to install software on a machine to get it up and running, and there's several hoops you have to hop through. It's not a good process. And additionally, if you have any trouble, you're stuck, because now you got to wait for TAC 10 support to come in and help you. And their philosophy is that you just call them and they'll install the software for you. Well, that's just not feasible, you know, when you have 30, 40 workstations out there that you're trying to update. Our last update to the ambulance department, 3 days to fix all their mobiles. 3 days after we updated them to get everything back running again. And we're still not 100% confident that it's completely correct at this point. So those kind of problems have just, like Tom was talking about, this has been going on for a long time. It's just time to really look at a new system. You know, I would ask that, you know, the county, obviously we're part of this team, but we have some separate needs the sheriff has, separate from CAD Mobile, which is the heart RMS. CAD Mobile and RMS is the heart of the system. But additionally, we have a civil program and we have the jail. So we have different needs than the rest of the community who would buy into this. So we definitely want to stay in touch and have good conversations and make sure that whatever solution gets picked that is going to fit all of the sheriff's needs to run that. So it adds a little bit of complexity. Not the end of the world. We could look at separate solutions for those outside of this system. But we just want to be part of that process so that we make sure, you know, we get as good a system as we can. But I just like everyone said, you can't emphasize enough, it's really time to start planning a replacement for this. Global who is owned by Harris now, has shown that they have no interest of really maintaining this product. They're break fixing it, which is causing us lots of problems. They're not scheduled releases. You know, it's no product. They're not trying to evolve the product and build the product forward. They're really just trying to satisfy our needs as quickly and get out of my hair. Leave me alone. And it's just, it's not working. It's getting worse and worse.
And this has been a known problem since it predates Sheriff Conkle. I mean, we were talking about this when Sheriff McCrowley was here. So,
yep.
I mean, to any of the legacy board members, this should not be a shock that we've been discussing. I agree with the sheriff and Director Horning and Director Jones that we need to have a strategy and a plan on how to do this. It's also been a shortcoming for fire and EMS for a number of years, so it's just time to move it down the road, set a target date on when we're going to do this, and figure out with the budget director in the county when's the appropriate time to bond for it and get it done.
What do you need from us then, Tom?
Well, I think when we get to the budget, we can talk about some of these items. I do have the consultant that we initially have contracted with and have already entered in to do some of this work for us. There's add-on pieces to that initial assessment that we did. So I have those add-on pieces, and I've got some of that pricing that we can discuss. And if we want to start, they will help develop. I have a little bit of a timeline for that. And they can help kind of then go into where we need to be. But we can either talk about the numbers now or talk about it when we get to the budget items. And then we can talk about if we want to put it in 27 budget to start the RFP. Well, basically it would be we'd be looking at the development of the RFP, so meeting with the stakeholders again, getting all of our requirements put in, and then developing and publishing it. And then we would go into the second phase, which would be the proposal evaluation and vendor selection. So then going through evaluating all the RFPs and selecting the vendor. Then phase three would be contract development negotiations once we develop that vendor. I kind of see all those three things probably running together within probably like if we did budget summit next fiscal year, working on that part of it that fiscal year, and then the following fiscal year, because this is probably going to be an 18 to 24 month. That's a medium-sized CAD estimate, and then it goes 24 to 36 if we're a large agency. And we do fall between that kind of medium-large right now. And the last phase would be implementation oversight. So that's going to be all the project coordinator. That's going to be now getting the balls rolling, making sure that everything's the commitments are made and the oversight of that. I think we could break that out into the next fiscal year. And so not these were not to exceed costs. If we were putting anything into this current budget coming up, we can accomplish phases 1 through 3, and that would be about a 12-month process, 12 to 18. And that's $145,000. And then the 18 to 24 phase, or going into that 18 to 36 phase, give or take, would be another $100,000. So our initial cost on that would be around $245,000. And then we would then plan for, right now I put it out like FY 2029-30 for the $4 to $5 million that we would then bond for.
I would rather take a meaningful step this next budget year and get this started, because we're going to have a jail on the ballot next fall too. I would much rather have this either implemented. My preference would be have it, the software system implemented and rolling, before we go into a new building, because I don't want to try moving into a new jail and then adding in a software system.
You want to open up with everything.
That's right. I would much rather have this in place and then go into a building.
Yeah, because you're already going to have a bunch of new processes there. No need to have the software disrupt that part. So timeline-wise, that's where we would be timeline-wise for those. There's four phases to finish this out. Because we've already done, we're going to call it phase one again, but phase zero if we want to call it. We already did the needs assessment. We've met with all the users. So the groundwork, they've already been to our county. They've identified information. Now it's meeting with everybody now saying, okay, we really need to solidify your needs because we want to move into an RFP. And so to get that rolling, those are the numbers we would need. And whether we budget it all in this next budget or do a 27, 28, but I think... I'll let this group. We know the numbers. We can make a timeline work, whatever. The consultant's ready to work with us whenever we're ready.
Well, like I said, we've set aside a lot of money already. We could probably use some of that to get this started, I'm assuming. I mean, it's just, we might as well. I mean, that's what it's for, ultimately. It's for the replacement of this. I certainly think that $800,000.
When you say we, is it because, is it the sheriff's budget or is it in the JEC budget?
The sheriff's office.
Sheriff's.
Okay, so does that have, was it earmarked just for this, or is this money that we would need to budget and replenish for the sheriff's department?
I think it. We've been setting it aside knowing we're going to have a significant piece of this we have to pay for no matter what. Because, again, okay. there's the software needs everybody has, like for law enforcement agencies, but then I have separate needs as well, like civil, jail, and records. So that's going to be part of it, too. So I don't see why we can't use some of that to help springboard this forward, and we'll iron all out later.
Yeah, there's going to be a blending of dollars anyway coming from different resources, and Tom, I assume you kind of would have your head around this. Like, I just want to make sure that we're not taking from the sheriff's department unnecessarily without replenishing them.
Understand.
Like your share.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're just putting our share up a little earlier than North Liberty.
Yeah. Or we also have the ability, I mean, if we throw this in now, and between now and the next meeting, we can find out, yes, we can use that money and we could pull ours back. I mean,
okay.
I can always publish and we can always take it back out. If between now and the next 20 days, 25 days till the next meeting, if we find out that money, couldn't be used for this for some reason, but we could insert the placeholder in our budget as well, but knowing, hey, this can be used, we'll pull it out in December. If that sounds, sounds something reasonable to help get this going, because I agree, it's got to get going, and the time is here. We've all done our work. I think now it's just getting someone identified in here, sitting down with our users, and now we start the formal process where we can't just change the rules of the playing field every meeting. It's easier to do that internally when it's an internal group than it is when we'll have someone coming in now holding our feet to this project, and they will manage it and make sure we see this through, timely.
Well, if we have money set aside in a budget to start looking at this, and it sounds like Sheriff Kunkel offered up some funds, and I don't know why we wouldn't proceed down there, down the path. I just know the county's going to be, John was pretty clear that the county's going to be asking for pretty flat budgets this year. I just think, everything included would be a pretty big sticker shock.
But Brad's not asking for new money. It's money that's...
Correct. It's money that he's already earmarked. And then maybe Jack picks up, additional revenue or different additional expense later.
They're going to have to.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what.
Yeah, at some point we're going to
have to. Everybody will.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's all going to cost us. It's just what order it costs us.
Sure. So we will go on then with the other items, that we can bring the money back up if we leave it out of ours then, when we get to our budget presentation, because we already have a major increase for the 911 expense that we have to take on, so we'll get talking about that as well. So, all right, I think for this item we are good, Chair.
That sounds good. Let us move on to and get back over to my agenda here.
Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Glad you got to come out this morning.
Yeah, it's been here for a while.
Item 6 is action to approve resolution 2025-01. This is approving the collective bargaining agreement ratified by the Communications Workers of America Local 7101 to take effect July 1st, 2026.
Yes. This resolution is to approve. So we spent the day on November 10th. Going through contract negotiations, we had good conversation. I think it went really well. We got everything done in one day. It just shows there was a lot less things, really, that we're beginning to talk about. Obviously, too, this is a 5-year contract, so that was good. So this will be the first 5-year contract we've had, just with wage openers, reopeners in years 4 and 5. So otherwise, 5-year contract, wage openers year 4 and 5. Did spend a lot of time on the wages in this contract. We did several wage comparables. We did a wage scale realignment to kind of bring us back where I know we were trying to catch up for the past couple of years. We are now to a spot where we all feel comfortable, both sides, where we sit. We're not by far the highest, and we're not the lowest, and we tried to come up with something that was fair, fair and equitable for the new employees here that are in that core group that we need to make sure that we retain, and then we got new employees we need to attract, but retain those kind of three-year employees that are kind of in that spot where they get to that hump and they decide they either want to move on or it's just they don't see where the job, you know, is going to pay enough for them to stay. And then obviously then keep those, you know, 13 people at the top of our scale that are senior people that we just, it's too hard to replace them and lose in this line of work. So we think we came to that now. And we found that ground. So this contract includes all those things, and it's like I said, it's been ratified by the CWA, the local union here that they bargain with, and so it's up for us to approve now on our side.
I just echo what Tom said. This was probably our easiest. This is my third negotiation. Jack, this is probably our easiest negotiation. It went really, really well. The union was really receptive. I think we got all of the things we had asked for I think we got everything we asked for, basically, with policy, you know, procedural changes.
Yep.
I thought it was very, very successful.
Yeah.
And when you look at the wage realignment, I would just echo what Tom said, is that we're right in a really good spot, so I think I'm really pleased with it.
Yeah, one thing that we gained new on our side, I now have the ability for lateraling, land transferring, so I can now match people with years of experience. It really opens the door up for me now to go out and recruit even a 5, 10 year, 15 year dispatcher. Didn't have that before, and I think we've seen, you know, I've been following the trend the last few years. That's been a new thing on everyone wanting to ladder, even in the sheriffs and the police departments. They're laddering people in now at, you know, their years of experience. Now, we didn't give them seniority. We did not match that, but we are giving credit for the years they've had. So
you are talking about that, like that horizontal movement, like,
yep,
within a pay grade or so.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
I've been doing that for a long time. That became kind of the trend after COVID, and it makes sense for you guys to do it too.
It was tougher for us to get through before. This one we got through, so it's big for us to be allowed to do that. So I think it's very helpful for me. It's very helpful for our organization, I think, going forward as well now to attract. So I'm actually looking forward. I never say I'm looking forward to hiring, but, you know, next year when we get into this, I think we can start advertising that, because a lot of struggles we're having right now is with our advertising. I mean, I know we've already went down the road and why the city and the county can't put us in their systems, but I think my number of applicants, if it can ever be worked out, we would double our applicants. So it just, to have one less challenge and hurdle to overcome in trying to attract people here to fill these positions, I think is beneficial for us. So.
Awesome.
Any other questions? The pack was in, or the contract was included in there, but as Aaron said as well, we're happy. We're both happy with everything. I think both sides are happy. So I think to a working agreement moving forward, we talked about everything. Everything was brought up in good faith, as we've been directed to do in the past by this group. Even though some of those topics, you know, obviously aren't in there anymore, we still have those conversations with them to make this, you know, a good working relationship between the two of us.
And I would say the contract's been ratified by the union. They voted on it. I have sent the draft that's in your packet to their representative, and she's reviewing it. We just got a message, I think that was yesterday.
Yep.
So
yep.
I'm fairly certain that this is it, but
yep.
Maybe there's a period in the long.
Yeah, if we miss a grammatical change, I mean,
yeah,
that's what,
yeah,
you know, if we have to redo anything, it'll be for a grammatical.
Yeah, and to clarify, so we've normally been doing three-year contracts, so this is a five-year contract, which we proposed. We thought that would be good, and then we'll reopen for wages in year four and five one time.
of the contract.
Second.
Thank you, Sheriff.
And second by Green Douglas.
Thanks, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Tom, we still have, I'm not gonna duck off yet, but it'll be a while.
Okay.
We'll still have a quorum. Will you still have a quorum when I'm not here if that gets to that point at 9:15?
No, but I won't need one at that point. I don't need one to adjourn, and we don't need one for the work session. This is the last quorum item.
Okay, fantastic.
Yep.
It's been moved and seconded. Are there, any questions?
Good.
No.
All right, seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Contract is approved.
Hey, Tom, this is our first resolution this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We've
we've
done well. This is the time of year we get our resolutions going now.
Yeah, we'll have like 35 between now and the end of the year. So
So we're just save them.
Yeah. So you're moving on to item 7, and Sean, you got to duck off here at 9, and I'll be here until about 9:10 or so.
Okay.
So
I've got to teach at 9, so I have to actually take off at about 2 minutes.
Okay. So what I'll do then, for the sake of this discussion, is I will jump ahead to the main high points, because the other slides are just about the individual lines. Most all of you have seen those and what those numbers are. I'll just talk about where the major increases come from this year. From a cash position, I'll just go real quick. our estimated funds to start overall balance to be in 27 is $3,228,558.72. We obviously have committed outlaid funds for designated projects that are on those five-year cycles or current capital year items, and they're total $561,845. When you take that number...
I'm going to advance the screen as you're going through the slides. We're still on the... I imagine you're reading slide 2 by now.
Are you? No. Let me see. Did this not catch up? Can you see that one?
Yes.
I'll do it this way. I won't do it in presentation view. So then it leaves the balance after those committed funds at $2,666,737.86. So as we know, that's that number when we come in to start July 1st. We're trying to pay all these expenses before any money comes in to JEXA. This current year we're in now, those expenses were $2 million, for those first 4 months of operation. So when you take that out of the equation, it leaves us $593,452. That's kind of that balance where we all talk about our cash reserve balance at the end of the day after all those expenses, to make sure that we still have future money if anything comes up that we could take out of that, or as that first 4 months expenses start to increase, obviously it decreases that number. And so that's where that number sits. Bonding projects. So FY 28-29, I kind of talked about that $4 to $5 million for the CAD replacement. Everything else has stayed the same. I've just moved some stuff out. And then I've reallocated the radios that were for this year to budget for the UPS for the JEC building that became end of life 4 months ago. We got notification on, and it will need to be replaced in 2026. Next thing I want to jump ahead that's a major budget impactor is expenses paid by 911. With SF-659 being passed on July 1st of 2025 this year, where the Homeland Security can seek reimbursement costs for local 911 service boards. That has now been in effect, and for the state's shortfall to operate their 911 network, they're taking more of our surcharge money from the locals, which then, of course, that money now has to go into somewhere's budget to pay for it, which leads into the JEC operating budget.
And can I speak to that just for a minute? Just the background on that, in case you didn't know, that was legislation like literally passed at night, completely under the radar, that was a giant money grab by the state with no guardrails.
Yeah.
So there'll be legislation this year proposed to fix that. Or I'm sorry, to up the surcharge so we can recoup that, because that comes out of property tax. But if there's the ability for you, whether it's your professional network or like legislative networks, to keep an eye on that. That really needs to be pushed this year, is upping that surcharge, because this was a giant screw job by the legislature on this.
Yeah, and so that incorporated an additional $314,159 into the JEC budget that hasn't been there before. So for the sake of everyone then left in the meeting, and I know, Chris, you're the last one that's got to jump off quick. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump down to the bottom, because I think this slide kind of answers it all. The total JEC proposed budget now is $5,545,000. That's up from $4.9 last year. It's a 12% increase over the budget, but if you take out that $314,000, it's a 5.9% increase less with that number out of there. And then FY26 was only a 6.7%. I don't say only, but this year would have been under this last year we're in had we not had to incorporate that payment. So then when you jump down, what are the budget increases due to? Salary and wages were up 8%, but they were 7.9% last year, so a tenth of a percent. And we did get a lower cost of living for the next 3 years, so this should level out after this year. And then that includes the overtime amount. Overtime obviously has gone up the last 2 years while we're finishing off getting back up to full staff. Benefits were a 5.5% increase. They were 9.3% in 26. So we saw a little decrease there on the benefit side. But here's the big one. The contractual services went up 52% because of that $314,000 payment. And then VMware was acquired by Broadcom. That's the software we use to run our whole infrastructure for our technology side. So like the CAD we're just talking about, all those servers run in this virtual environment. It went up $9,000. I know $9,000 in the grand scheme of things, but it was one of the major contributors to that within that 52%. And then the hardware maintenance on those servers that do run that system, there was a big increase handed out by the manufacturer on those in the last couple of years. We've seen those come along too. So for the past 3 years, expenditures, we've utilized 95% of the budget, 98%, and 98%. So we're still doing well on the goal of, you know, making sure we're managing everything expense efficiently to operate within our budget projections. And then, obviously, what does this do then for the tax asking? It's a 13% increase over 26. And the last couple of years were 9.9 and 8.3. So with that, that $314,000 there, it really does make a difference. So again, hopefully with this legislation, we get that out of there. Now, one thing we didn't talk about was I did not include adding any of these consultant fees. So I'm glad if the county is able to take out of Sheriff Kunkel's start there to get this kick started. Otherwise, we would be throwing in some of those numbers that we just discussed for the CAD consultant into that as well. And I think we're already high enough where we're at. So I do like hearing that. But if we had to make the change, we have to make the change. And I think this year will be is probably one of our more challenging years. But hopefully we have a lot of things to attribute to that. And again, the 901 funds are a big portion of that, knowing that it would have been a lot less if that was out of there. So I jumped ahead to those slides for the sake of time, and I think I kept you within your 5 minutes there, Mayor Hoffman. So if you I can obviously go back and touch on the in-betweens, but I think we all know what the expenses that we're having to burden by, and we know we always talk about, that's why I like to put those front and center. Obviously, it educates the public. It educates everyone when I go to the board meeting and share that again as well. If these 901 expenses weren't there or all of a sudden become shorted or unable to be covered, those expenses have to go somewhere. So it's good that we do at least show what those were. Now it's unfortunate we're having to absorb a pretty significant chunk of one that we hopefully don't next year. So I hope there's good news coming on that. From what I'm hearing as well, everybody said they're open to a surcharge. I think it's just finding out what's the right formula and what's the right option. I know there's been one option submitted, and I think there's another group now that may have gained making a priority. So hopefully that group will come forward with a solution as well that the legislation will look at.
Is it possible, can you share this
absolutely.
With us?
Absolutely.
Number two, you're going to be presenting this to the county. I'd like to be able to share this with our council as well. I've discussed primarily the 911 surcharge fund that we're going to need to be absorbing.
Yep.
And just very high level what that means. Is it okay if I can share this with our council as well, or would you want me to wait until after you've talked to the county about it in January?
No. This would be the same. I mean, the county just,
okay.
They have me go, they just have me go every year as a conversation piece. When I go with them, it's just there to educate them and help them understand what we are submitting when we submit our budget, what's included in that number. So, no, it's... This can be shared at any time.
Okay.
I can speak to it if you need me to come as well, and do the same. I can afford you guys the same that I do to them. They just ask every year because they're the ones that levy the money for us. They just like me to have a conversation about what's included in it. So
okay.
It's no different than anybody else can have me do. So yeah,
I will
send this out and share it in case anybody needs it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. If everybody can understand some of my shorthanded abbreviations.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they're straightforward.
I sometimes like to have you there to present those acronyms, but we don't. We'll cross that bridge if we need to.
Yeah, you just let me know.
Okay, sounds good. Is there anything else that you want to discuss in regards to the budget?
No, I mean, those were the main highlights. Everything else is just, again, going through the detail of, you know, what's included in each of those numbers. So, no, I think for your time, constraint, that's...
Okay, I appreciate that, and I hope that you were able to express what you needed to there.
Yeah, no, I think everybody
okay.
Understood. I think the most important things have been discussed, so...
Okay. Well, if it's all right, then I'll move on to item 8. Were there any questions for Tom on the budget? Okay. We just need to set a date then, Tom, for our December meeting?
Yes, that is correct. So the December meeting and the budget publication, and so I was probably looking at around the 19th if we stick on kind of our typical schedule. We go the third Friday in November and December due to the holidays. If anybody has any issues around the 19th, we can... change that date, but that gives us time to make sure that.
That's fine. I've already got it on the calendar.
Okay. All right. Sounds like everybody's got it on the calendar for the 19th, so we will leave it at the 19th, and I will get that published.
That sounds good.
And we don't.
I just need a motion to adjourn.
You won't have.
Oh.
Yeah, just you just have to adjourn the meeting. Yeah, don't need a formal one for the adjournment, so you're good there.
Let's do it.
You can just adjourn the meeting, Chair.
Let's just adjourn the meeting.
Thanks, Chair.
All right, 9:00 a.m. The meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Good weekend.